Well, thank you for joining us. Hi, this is William F. DeVault, sometimes referred to as the romantic poet of the internet, and this is From Out of the City for the week of February the 26th, 25th, and we're coming to you from Studio C in suburban Washington, D.C., and as usual, the topic is poetry. This week, I've decided to kind of interface with the reality that exists in print, and I'm going to be presenting to you several works from the blog that's maintained by EJ, amomancer.blogspot.com, wherein every day we post one of my poems to that blog. So if you just want to read poetry, you don't want to listen to all the BS that comes from going to my blog, cityoflegends.blogspot.com, then go to EJ's blog. Again, that's Amomancer, amomancer.blogspot.com, and you'll get a chance to read just some straight-up poetry, very little written besides that, except maybe a small piece of introduction. But I'm going to take some of the pieces that he posted last week, in the past week, and I'm going to talk about them, and I'm going to read them for you, so you get a little more than just the raw piece. And we'll see how this works for you, okay? First up, we have the poem, Will You Be With Me Tonight? This poem has a little bit of a history. It was written originally to a very self-absorbed lover who everything seemed to revolve around what she was feeling in the moment. And believe me, I think that human beings, people, have a right to their feelings and have a right to invoke them. But it would become very frustrating because it was one of those relationships where I was asked to meet the other person halfway, and I did. And when I got there, I was told, well, I'm not really certain if this is exactly where I want to be, so will you meet me halfway of the difference? And then when I would get to that point, it was halfway of the difference between that and where they were. And eventually I found myself making all the concessions. And it became very frustrating in the relationship. And I finally just threw down on the relationship with this poem. And it is called, Will You Be With Me Tonight? Will you be with me tonight when the demons come? All the doubts running like molten wax from the wick of my heart, trimmed too tightly by anxious hands, holding me against the lost causes I sold out for you and your eyes, spinning webs that I can never cut, never tear, never touch, for fear that you might one day awaken and realize that there is someone in this world besides yourself. Not exactly a poem I'd like to have written about me. And maybe it is just me, but I find that poem a little damning, shall we say. Next up, we have a piece of mine called Voices on the Wind, Variation 2. The reason for the title is a long time ago. Longer ago than most of my listeners have been alive, I wrote a poem called Voices on the Wind. That remains in my catalog. It's a decent enough poem. Is it one of my best? To my taste, no. But it's good, it's solid, it's well received. And a few years ago, I was sitting down thinking about that poem, and I started writing a variation on it. I took a couple of the key phrases from that poem. For the dime or dollar, I write my toneless song, expressing pain or longing to an apathetic throng that can never feel my tears. No one ever hears voices on the wind. And spun off a whole new poem. And I actually like this better than the original, but they're both still in my catalog. And I'll do it for you now. Again, the name of this poem is Voices on the Wind, Variation 2. For the dime or dollar, I write my toneless song, expressing pain or longing to an apathetic throng that can never feel my tears. No one really hears voices on the wind. A trip, a slip, a modest chip of granite from the wall, against which mortals lean and ponder yet unseen, a wind that cruelly blows. No one really knows voices on the wind. So many unasked questions, the tasks of sentient thought that spindle as they dwindle upon a point now caught, as they force us to our knees, they bear a frail disease. Voices on the wind. The shadow hearts are played as cards on tabula rasa felt, leaving blood and badinage beneath each psychic welt, a gallows humor flood. The words are bought in blood. Voices on the wind. And who will trust the prophets that have promised passage soon across the lake to Avalon beneath a perfect moon? The final sand grains fall. I listen to their call. Voices on the wind. I like the word gloaming. And if you don't know what it means, look it up. Get used to using your dictionary, even if it's an online dictionary. Expand your vocabulary when you encounter a word you do not know, or see it being used in a way that you don't fully grasp, that you're not used to. Look it up. Make sure that the writer is using it correctly, because God knows I've messed that up once or twice. But in the spring of 2002, 5 years ago, I had a friend who was working out some very dark issues. And in the shadowed reflections of their emotions, I wrote this next poem that's also on the Amomancer blog. And I called it "The Gloaming Light of a Mid-Spring's Meander." And it talks about how, despite the fact this person doubted their own value and purpose in life, I took great joy in their being involved in my life, in the feelings that I had for them, and in the inspiration they brought me. Again, this piece is called "The Gloaming Light of a Mid-Spring's Meander." I shall not see light in the same way, having heard it from your lips, falling in rainbow hues of gray and black, and a color not unlike red. How sad it would have been not to have the veils lifted by a worthy hand, to have missed this consolation, this kiss of inspiration, to have not known your soul, reflecting light in a different way than I do, though the physics of the act of reflection remain the same. But still, in your shadows, there is a different science, and I would sit as student while you taught me your vision. Certainly, I believe that people do not always embrace the impact they have on the lives of others. And taking this back to the first poem we did tonight, I guess I have issues with people who become so self-absorbed in their own pain, in their own suffering, in their own feelings, that they fail to realize that what they think and feel and do impacts others. And while it isn't necessarily fair to tell people they have an obligation to others, it is true that by merely existing, by merely having been brought into this world, we have a certain level of obligation to it and to the people within it. I'm going to finish up this evening with a poem that I originally wrote to my second wife, Anne. It's called "The Ancient Brain." A lot of my work over the last few years has been about, to steal the title of a different poem, the intellectualization of lust, trying to logically break down passion. And this poem, "The Ancient Brain," makes reference to that primitive portion of our mind that actually drives us sexually. And I was reflecting on my attraction to her. She's an incredibly beautiful woman. and why, despite the fact there were some real issues that probably should have kept us apart from day one, I allowed myself to be emotionally available. And even though that relationship ended, I guess, as gracefully as it could have under the circumstances, there is still an acknowledgement of feeling there, not just on a sexual level, a great deal of respect and affection for the person. So here is my poem, The Ancient Brain. Your sheen of sweat whets my appetites for the nights of incoherent light, merging into new colors. Hold tight to all my angles, and I will intersect memories you did not know you were capable of, but dimly saw in a fantasy rendered in colors of solferino and pale blue. Sound for me that song again, the one with only rhythm and words that work only in the context of satin and silk and scents that went straight to the ancient brain. I really like the reference to scent in this poem. When I first met my second wife, our first conversation was based off of the essence oil she was wearing as I sat beside her on the airplane. Anyway, that's it. I've run my course for this week. I do want to thank you for joining us. If you're interested in reading the text of these poems, certainly drop by EJ's blogspot, emmamanser.blogspot.com. You can also swing by my blog, cityoflegends.blogspot.com. But you're going to hear a lot more of just my thoughts rather than just straight-up poetry. So if you just want the raw poetry, head over to EJ's. Absolutely. Hope your day, your week, your year is going well. We're almost at the end of February, almost 2 months into the year. I want to thank all my loyal readers, all my loyal listeners. I want you to take care of yourselves and follow your hearts, follow your passions, follow your dreams. Again, this is William F. DeVault, and you've been listening to From Out of the City.